And good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. It's time now for our Capital Call. We're kind of doing it a little bit of a different way, but it's brought to you all the same by Phillips 66. And we have our lawmakers. First of all, let's say hello to Representative Daryl Fincher. Daryl, good morning.
Good morning, Tom, and it's a beautiful morning.
It sure is. Judd Strom, how are you doing today?
I'm well, sir. Glad to be here.
And Senator Julie Daniels, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. I'm getting ready to go visit some local businesses.
That's what I was going to ask. First out of the chute. Now, Senator, you were the one that stated a few weeks ago, you know, let's find someone or some people brave enough to do what we have not yet done, which was to safely and, get this state reopened. And right now in Bartlesville, we've got the green light to proceed safely. Like to hear what's on your agenda. I imagine you're going to see a few folks you haven't seen for a bit.
Well, yes, obviously still from a distance, but I always did question why smaller businesses couldn't be open that sold the same kind of products as a big box store.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really glad now these folks can get back to work and back to serving our community. So anyway, I'm going to put my toe in the water today, Tom.
All right. Daryl, what about you? Yeah, you got to proceed with caution, I imagine, with like everybody else. And imagine you're just a little anxious to see things open up just a bit.
Well, I am. And just like everybody else, I am going to proceed with caution. If you see me out in a store, I'm going to have a mask on to protect other people out there. And I just want to tell people, wear your mask, because otherwise it is the zombie apocalypse. And the people without the mask are going to be the ones to become the zombies. So, you know, just a little levity there. But yeah, please wear a mask. Go out, patronize your businesses. We went out and ordered from a restaurant last night and had that brought in.
And Judd Strom is with us. And I know, Judd, you've been chomping at the bit. Tell us your reaction to a brand new day in Oklahoma.
I'm ready to get out and about. Wednesday, I made a circle all the way around the district to Nowata County, Osage County, Washington County, and just stopped the stores that were open. I did see a lot of people observing, you know, they had their masks on and were staying 6 feet apart. And I hope that people will continue to keep that up and be safe. But I know myself, I'm ready to go get a haircut. I think we're probably going to go back to the Capitol on Monday, and I might just put my hair in a ponytail and go and just wait just to show off how my luscious locks have grown in this deal. But at the same time, something's got to be done.
While we have you here, how's the budget coming along, Judd?
Well, that's another reason I'm anxious to get back to the Capitol. You know, all of the chairman, vice chairman, we've been working with all the agencies that fall into our committees, and I know what my agencies are doing. I know where we can find savings. I know where there can be some cuts that aren't too harmful, but I'm ready to get back to the big table in the conference room and hear from all the other agency or budget committee heads and chairs and vice chairs to see what they know. We need to start taking a good overall look at what we can do with the budget. You know, we certified an almost $1.4 billion budget shortfall. Mm. Now we go and look back and we say, if business can continue, if business can start, if we can move things around a little differently, it might be as low as $800 million, you know, and now we're looking at some cuts that we can get in there. That's still a tremendous number, still not anything we want to have to deal with, but it makes things a little easier. So like I say, I'm ready to get back to the Capitol and really start working these things out and get things back on track for the state.
You're listening to Capitol Calls on K1, brought to you by Phillips 66. Senator Daniels, your thoughts on the budget and the budget process at this time?
Well, certainly the disagreement between the legislature and the executive as to how high the shortfall is made the negotiation on the budget a little more difficult. I'm working with four agencies, and I heard a figure yesterday of less than 9.8 or 7%, but higher than I would like it to be. But fortunately, we do have until the end of May. I think the negotiations are going as well as can be expected. The question will be, will our governor accept the budget the legislature puts to him? And so that's a concern. Anyway, there's a lot of work going on that, and I agree that we will be in session next week. I don't know if it will be Monday, mainly because on the Senate side, we're going to do presiding officer training on Teams on Monday. So that indicates to me that we won't be in session on Monday morning, but I'll find out. In fact, just as soon as this call is over is when I'll find out all those things about logistics for next week.
And Daryl, as far as the budget is concerned, how are you seeing things?
Well, like Representative Strom and Senator Daniel, we're really looking for, hopefully, we know we're going to have to do some cutting, even with savings. We just don't know how much, and right now they're firming up those numbers. But one thing for people to realize is one of the best benefits we had is that we had $1 billion in savings that we were able to tap to finish this year out. How much we're going to tap for next year is under discussion. But we also need to realize we're not quite sure of the effects, not only in this next fiscal year, but the fiscal year starting a year from July. And so we need to have some savings to be able to carry over for that as well.
Well, Daryl, we're not yet out of the woods as far as this coronavirus and COVID, everything. This is kind of the end of the beginning, as they say, and we're now into a new phase. But a lot of things have to be done legislatively, too, along with, you know, these mitigation things with the coronavirus. Now, what projects do you have going forward that beyond the budget and beyond COVID that may have been kind of, you know, obscured with those big headlines?
Well, I think one of the big things
where
is...
Where do you begin, right?
yes, the Board of Regents for Higher Ed has actually been working on, and I think I've mentioned this before, the Oklahomans Virtually Everywhere Act. We've got the final report printed up. They had a final press release all ready to go, and then this kind of just overtook everything that they were doing. But that particular act is something, as we talk about, how are we going to get back to work? It's perfect for this because the whole idea is how do you actually have an experience in person, even if you're remote, if you're working from home, if you're working in a different spot and your job's in a different state, how do you have equivalent experiences? And that's going to help move us forward because a lot of people are discovering that what we're doing right now is just not as good as it could be. And we've got technology out there to help us move forward. So that's one of the things we're working on. The other, of course, is what's happening with the schools and the universities and the colleges. And we'll be getting caught up with them about what they're planning on next year. People need to realize we expect to see waves of the coronavirus come through as we get in here. And so we're actually not looking at things just being open and staying open. We may actually have to close some things down, but we're going to do our best. And by the way, wear your mask, do your best to keep from spreading it, because that's our best chance of things looking as close to normal as possible.
All right. I want to go to the senator here on the Senate side of things. Senator Daniels, what's being obscured? What should we know more about what's going on the Senate side of the legislative branch here while we're in session beyond COVID and the budget?
Well, I do want to speak to COVID for just a moment.
Sure.
We're going to, I hope, consider three bills next week that have to do with limiting a liability for COVID-related activities. We're going to consider a medical community immunity bill for healthcare providers and facilities. We're going to consider a product liability immunity bill that has to do with those who stepped up and provided products that or produced products that might not have been their normal the normal thing that they did. And so, you know, if there were some issues with any of those products, you know, they in good faith, they stepped up and tried to help. So we intend to provide some immunity there. And then the one that's most important to me is civil immunity for business owners. If I go to several shops today and for some reason I end up with COVID, it's really impossible for me to say exactly where I got it. And so we want to make sure that business owners are not afraid to open up. And so we want to make sure that our businesses, our organizations, our charitable organizations, our churches have some immunity from civil liability for an alleged infection of COVID at their place of business. So that one's real important. We're certainly not the only state considering this. I've looked at a couple of statutes from other states, but those are the conversations and the legislation I've been involved in over the past 10 days. And in fact, we're putting the finishing touches on these three bills today, and I certainly hope we will get them heard next week. If we're going to open up, we need to provide this this additional layer of protection. And so those are uppermost in my mind. And of course, none of those bills existed at the beginning of the legislative session. I also hope that we will look at economic incentive bills, anything that we can do to innovate and to attract people to Oklahoma. I believe that one of the maybe silver linings of this whole thing is that the heartland of America and Oklahoma is going to become a more attractive place for people who don't see urban living to be quite as attractive as it used to be. So there could be some opportunities for us here, and I want to make sure that legislation-wise, statutory-wise, we aren't putting barriers in front of anybody who wants to come and start a business in Oklahoma.
I'd sure like to see some businesses along the pharmaceutical genre set up shop here so we don't have to put things maybe on foreign soil. That'd be great. But I got to tell you, thank you for bringing up those bills. I don't think anybody has really been too much aware of those, and I'm going to be very anxious to see how those turn out and how that serves us moving forward upon passage. And it'd be interesting to hear some of the debate, too. Thank you. Judd, moving forward, you got anything else that's cooking that you think needs to be put to the forefront beyond the budget and COVID?
Absolutely. You know, we've had several kind of projects on tap the last couple of years that I think have been, with this pandemic, kind of moved to the forefront. One of those being the, you know, like Representative Fincher's Digital Everywhere is, you know, our rural broadband. District 10 is a very rural district, and we've had to send a lot of our kids home from school that have had to be really working over the phone or the internet. And I think that this really shows how important it is now to put this, to make this priority legislation to try to get rural broadband out there, not only so that our kids can go home and learn, but also the people that had to go home from work in an office building on Johnstone Street can now go home to, say, Nowata County and continue to do work, continue to do business. So we've got rural broadband out there. I think it's really important, as well as the Richard worked on, and I know Gary Mize is carrying a Senate bill. Bills that lift regulations on what people can make and serve and sell from their home. I mean, as far as food or product that they make there. I think those are really important, and I think that they have been brought to the forefront as this pandemic has kind of unfolded. And I think those are things that we don't not only need because of the pandemic, but I think these are important as we move into the future. I think it'll change the way we do business. It'll change the way education functions. And I think these are really important things that we need to work on when we get back to the Capitol.
Wonderful. We're getting ready to get into the final stretch of our program here, brought to you by Phillips 66. It's called Capital Call. And, John, what would you like for folks to think about here now, moving forward into a new month and into a new phase, starting today?
You know, the way 2020's gone, we're moving into a new month today, and I'm just curious, you know, what is May going to bring in the year of 2020? I mean, is it going to be aliens? Is it what is it that we're going to have to deal with? That's kind of been my ongoing joke there. But as far as your legislators and getting back, I'm anxious to get back to the Capitol, to get back in the room with the people that we work with, and really try to move the state through this, move the state forward. And as well, I want to say we are always in communication with our counterparts and trying to stay in communication as much as possible with all of our constituents and the people that are out there. You know, right on my Facebook or website, I have my phone number, my official email, any way to get a hold of me. If you have problems with unemployment, if you have problems with SBA loans, if you have a problem with anything, don't hesitate to get a hold of myself or any of us. One of our top priorities, one of our biggest jobs, is being an advocate for the people of our district, and I think that's really important.
All right, Daryl, I want to move to you. Looking forward, words that you'd like to let folks know that what you're thinking about and what you're seeing.
Well, what we're thinking about is of course, is May. We're going to be looking at a lot better weather coming in. We will actually see business activity pick back up as people get used to doing this. But I think one of the things people need to look at as we're going into May is there was what was called pandemic unemployment assistance. And unfortunately, because of the way it was set up, it was a little bit slow to get started flowing. But they've actually, at the Oklahoma Employment Security Commission, have actually now started to get that flowing. And we're helping at our office for some people who've called us. We're kind of chasing down where in the process their applications are with that. And as Representative Strom mentioned, if you've got problems, if you're not quite sure where to turn, go ahead and call our office. It's on our okhouse.gov website. we can help with that. You know, our legislative assistants are still working with us. We're in close contact with them. So we're able to help with that. So looking forward, look for businesses to go back up. Be safe as you're doing it. Look for more opportunities. Unfortunately, nursing homes are still going to be restricted, but I know that they're really working on how they're going to make for good quality of life for the residents there.
Thank you very much. And Senator Daniels, your vision forward now as we're into a new month and into a new phase, what are you seeing?
Well, as much as we are able individually, I think we need to participate in the economy because, of course, if restaurants are open but they're only serving half the number of customers, they're really going to need our patronage that goes for all these small businesses. So wherever we can, I know a lot of us are watching our own pennies at home. We need to participate and help because just as we talk about supply chain issues with providing equipment for COVID or getting food on the shelves, we are all part of the supply chain that is our economy. And we need to do our part to stimulate it, even as we look at ways to incentivize businesses. We as consumers are the greatest incentive because without a profit, they don't exist. We don't get their services. That's very important in a community our size and all the communities in District 29. So do shop local. Do shop local to help stimulate your own economy. And then on the government side, just as in education, things are going to change a bit. There's certainly some government reforms that will come out of this. I know some ideas we had that may have seemed revolutionary a couple of years ago seem very common sense now. And, of course, if you're able to do some reform in government that cuts the cost and perhaps the number of personnel needed or you put in new systems, you will actually stretch our tax dollars further. So I know my colleagues and I are enjoying those kinds of conversations. So there is a lot of positive that can come from this negative, but I've always been a glass half full person, and starting today, that's my aim, is the half full positive part of all of this. So thank you, listeners. Do be in touch with my office, and appreciate so much that I live in Oklahoma.
Thank you, Senator Daniels. Thank you, Representative Strum, and also Representative Fincher. Thank you for being a part of our Capitol Call today, brought to you by Phillips 66 on K1. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you.
If you like saving at Phillips 66, you can save up to 25 cents per gallon when you pay with the My Phillips 66 app. Now, take the remaining time of this 30-second radio commercial to celebrate your savings while we read legal. 25 cents is a combined savings of 15 cents off per gallon up to 30 gallons at participating Phillips 66 locations and 10 cents off per gallon when you pay within the My Phillips 66 app. Select payment methods may apply. Offer valid through September 30th, 2020.